Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, I have the privilege to do a second message under the theme of community life, and Renee did an awesome job last week. How many of you were able to be here last week? She did an awesome job last week of laying a foundation for community life, and she did it around our vision, really. And part of our vision statement is we purpose to be a Christ-centered community of people. And she talked about the fact that the reality is that the church, the church is a unique community, unlike any other community. And by the way, our communities that we live in are very important. And we need to be part of the fabrics of the communities that we live in. But the church is a unique community because it is not an organization or a corporation. It is an organism. Yeah, the church is an organism. Renee developed it well. We're living stones. You're part of the building, if I could say it that way, not this building. This building is just a place that we meet and it serves us well, but you are a part of an organism as a living stone, and we're being formed in and fit in varying ways. And you know what is so cool is while we're being built into the wall, we are growing. We're growing in our understanding, we're growing in stature, and we are constantly in a constant flux of change. That's why it's really good to flow in the Spirit, because things are constantly changing. By that I mean the people around us are growing in who they are. You're growing in who you are. And so sometimes if we rub against each other, it's just growth marks. But we, as Renee said last week, we are a church that wants to build people who in turn will build other people. And so in that sense, we're very concerned not only with what happens in here on Sunday morning, we are concerned with what's going on out there all week long, whether it's in homes or businesses. We want to see the body of Christ equipped. Because here's what I believe. I know this. Here's what I know. I know that God is bringing a revival, and I will tell you who the revivalist is. It's you, and it's me. And it's each of us doing our part in our sphere of influence to impact those that we rub shoulders with out there who don't yet know that God loves them, who don't yet know of the love of God that we spoke about earlier. And for that reason, we are very focused on encouraging you in who you are and the way that God uniquely made you. Well, I want to continue to talk this morning about community life, and I want to give us a little bit of a perspective from the Old Testament and even let God weigh in on it. Out of the Word of God concerning community and the power of community. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 11, and it'll be a pretty familiar story of you. It's called the building of the Tower of Babel, and there were some principles at play there that even impressed God. So much so that he had to intervene. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the whole earth, this by the way is many years after the flood. Chapter 10 lists the descendants of the children of Noah. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found the plain of the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. I'm going to stop for right there, but we are going to get back to this text. I want you to notice, I want you to point out some things that they had going. They were all of one language. One of the reasons that churches have vision statements and mission statements is for the very things that I'm going to list here in a minute, is so that we are all of one language. They also said, "Let us make and bake bricks." They were all of one method. In other words, I mean, they had a how. They not only they knew how they were going to do something, but not only did they know how, but they knew the what. "Let us build ourselves a city." Verse 4, "Let us make a name for ourselves." That was the why. A lot of struggle that we see in our society today is because people are looking for identity. And there are people groups who feel like they've lost their identity. And they don't have a name for themselves. And I'm not calling it into question. It's probably a valid reality. They had one purpose. They had one language. One goal. But then God speaks and He intervenes. And I want us to notice God's opinion of what is taking place. And the Lord said, verse 6, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them." This is God Almighty speaking, and He's saying, "Whoa! Look what they're doing. They will get this job done." Why? Because they were of one language. They were of one method, one purpose, one goal. And we need to understand, as we talk about community, that is very important, and it's important to God. Spurgeon said that if your preaching cannot be understood by a 5-year-old, the gospel you preach is far too complicated. So I want to tell you a lesson this morning that I taught in Colleen and I taught in Sunday school about a month ago. We were talking to the kids about prayer, and in specifically the prayer of unity. And I had a bundle of sticks, just like this, bundled together, and I handed it to the kids, especially the boys, and said, "Try to break this." And they were, "I'm not going to give it to you, men, because it may not be quite a big enough bundle, but you'll get my point." And they couldn't break it, no matter how hard they tried. And then I pulled out one of them, and I said, "What's wrong with you guys? They're just little sticks." There's a tremendous strength that we have when we're in community, when we're bound together. Now, the truth is, what they didn't know and what you don't know is there's a larger stick running down the center that's unbreakable. Isn't that interesting? It's called a steel rod. But that is how it is in our relationship. See, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, what? 10,000. It isn't even a matter of addition, of counting the sticks and adding it. It is the realization that there is a multiplication in strength when we are in community. And we all need community. And it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't need to be big gatherings. We need smaller gatherings as well. I believe that one of the movements that is happening in this day is moving the church from outside of the larger building and also getting it into homes. And I predict, and I know, that we are going to see the springing up of house churches in a way that we have never seen it before. And the spirit that we heard about that is blowing on that. And he may be blowing on some of you. And there's a tendency to feel, oh, no, we'll lose control. How can Jesus lose control? I just wanted to know. He is the head. We are not. And he will not lose control. We might lose something that we perceive to be something, but it is no significance if it doesn't flow from the head. And the head is causing his gospel to be put in the most unique places, in businesses and in churches. I believe part of what is going on in this day, even with live streaming, is to get the church in the house. If you're watching from home today, welcome to church. You are in your church building. If you're with your family, you are with your flock. Moms, dads, shepherd them. And shepherd your neighbors while you're at it. And shepherd some friends while you're at it. There's a wonderful thing that God wants to do in decentralizing the church. Bet you never thought you'd hear a pastor say that. That doesn't mean we don't need this gathering. We do need this gathering. There's a richness when we can worship together in this configuration. But there's a richness when we can gather in smaller settings. We're a part of a connect group because we want connection. We want community. We want to connect with brothers and sisters who know us and know us well. Community is a place where we can be held accountable. And by the way, when I use that word accountable, I'm not using it as a definition that people keep an eye on you so they can tell God what you did. I'm telling Dad. No. Accountability is me reminding you of who you are so that you live at a higher level. We men need to hold one another accountable, not to shame us for our weaknesses and our failures, but rather to call us to a higher level and a higher place and to remind us of who we are. The Apostle Paul, in all his letters, whenever he wrote, he would remind the people of who they were before he told them how they ought to conduct their lives. And it was out of the revelation of who they were in Christ, their identity. There's the identity that we've got to find. There is the identity in the household of God. Christ himself. One new man, neither Jew nor Greek, but this new species of person called Christian, who has no citizenship on earth, but citizenship is in heaven. Not born of the will of man, nor born of the will of the flesh, nor born of bloodlines, but born of God. John chapter 1. That's who we are. And we are a community of people who are unique. And we are a spiritual community, first and foremost. And we do need organization, and we do need, but the reality is that we are a spiritual community. And we are a community that is called to impact the communities that we live in rather than vice versa. We must be aware and careful in these days because there's a lot going on in our communities and in the natural community and in the Twin Cities and in this nation. There's a lot of things going on, and we must be careful that those things do not infiltrate the church. One of the things that's going on in our nation in this day is so many people feel like they have a right to be offended. And we have to be careful that that doesn't creep into the church. That I'm not saying offenses won't come, but I say we have a way of dealing with them and processing, and it's called communication. Let's talk. Tell me how I hurt you. Tell me how what I said affected you. Help me understand, because I'm wired uniquely the way I'm wired, but you're wired uniquely the way you're wired. And so there is a need to understand one another. I do not want to diminish the reality of the struggles that are going on right now. I think they're very valid, but they do need to be handled differently. And I do think that there are those. You know, we'd like to believe that if we could just have our way, we could just change all of society. But the truth is that there are those who love darkness. And though they hear the light and see the light, they will not come to the light. They were there in Jesus' day, and they're here in our day. But that does not mean that we should stop letting our light shine. We should do all we can do to impact those around us as a community of people. You are way more fruitful than you know you are. And as a light, you are way more brilliant than you think you are, and more bright. And you have way more to offer than you think you do. One of the challenges is that we like to think of ministry as taking place on a larger scale. So when it takes place in little, smaller ways here and there, we feel like it's not valid or it's not significant. But what if it's taking place in all kinds of little places? And it is. My mom sent me a story through Facebook Messenger, whatever that is called. And I'm going to make it my own, and I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell it to you. But it was about a pastor who went to a new church. And he was invited to the men's group, or a men's breakfast, actually. And they asked one old farmer to pray. So the farmer prays, and he says, "Lord, you know I hate buttermilk." And the pastor looks around, and, "Lord, you know I hate lard." The pastor's getting nervous, as pastors can do, because they think they're supposed to police everything that goes on. "Lord, you know I hate flour. But Lord, when you mix them all together and apply a little heat, Lord, I love biscuits." God is mixing things up in this day because he's fixing to make biscuits. He is. And it's not that he is originating everything that's going on, but our God is an awesome cook. And he can make the most marvelous dish out of the most ingredients. How many of you remember Crisco? But it makes some good biscuits or whatever, pancakes or whatever. Pie crust, there you go. And we need to have a confidence in this day that God is up to something of some significance. And again, not that he originates. He seldom originates a mess. He doesn't have to. He just needs to step back a little bit and let us kids play. But don't think for 1 minute that the adversary has the upper hand. Don't think for 1 minute that God isn't doing some things behind the scenes. There's a revival, I believe, that is escalating in the Twin Cities. And I want to say something about that. Here's our tendency. Oh, good, let's go help them. Can I say something to you? Please don't. Don't go help them unless you know that God is sending you there to help. Or you'll goof it up. There are men and women of God in the cities who have been there for years, and they speak the language. And they've earned the trust, and they've earned the confidence of people. Let them minister and now reap the fruit of their years of sowing. We tend to want to get in there. Oh, yeah, let's get in. Wait a minute. You have your own revival. Let's do one here. Let's have one in our community. And that doesn't mean if God calls us that we don't go. I'm just saying, let's not just run because there's a fire a-brewing. Start your own fire. That's their community. And they do, by the way, and I say this in a positive way, they speak a different language, and there's those who understand it. And there are those who have been laying foundation for years and they're building on it now. And the Lord, this wind is blowing. But it's going to blow and is blowing here as well. I want to call our attention to verse 7. Because you remember we left God with a dilemma. He sees that these people have figured out the principle of unity, by the way. They're of one language, they're of one purpose, one goal, one method, if I could say it that way. Verse 7, oh, wow. Man was speaking, he said, come, let us. Let us build with bricks. Let us build a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves. Now God speaks and he says, oh, come, let us. Do you know that God is a community? He is a community of three. He said, let us. When he spoke in the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image. God is not one, he's three. Why? Because he's a relational God. He can't help but relate. Do you know why God created man? Because he's relational, and because God the Father wanted children, and God the Son wanted a bride, and God the Holy Spirit wanted a home to dwell in. And he got all three in you. That's why he created mankind, because God is all about community. Now, he's about to confound their language and scatter them, which God does very often. By the way, you watch in Scripture, when things aren't going the way God had planned them to go and wants them to go, he just scatters people. He did it in the New Testament in the early church. All authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore into all the nations and preach the gospel. Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and they didn't go. So he scattered them. And he allowed persecution to arise, and they went. So we find James writing to the dispersion, and Peter, to those who are scattered abroad. How'd they get scattered? The wind blew. Why? Because God has always wanted to scatter his people. Why? Because the whole earth shall be full of the glory of God. Out of every tongue and tribe and nation, there shall be a people who worship him. Come, let us go down. And there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. God speaking, come, let us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now he would speak to you and I, and he would say, come, let us. Because now you and I, as the community called the church, get to co-labor with the original assignment to Adam and Eve, and that is to bring God's dominion wherever it is allowed and permitted. And we go with an awareness that some men love darkness. No, I pushed the mute button by putting my hand in my pocket. You want to send sound guys into a tizzy? Thank you, Lord, for sound men who keep their cool when the preacher pushes the mute button. God is not against you, unity, but he wants diversity with unity. Do you realize that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it talks about you and it talks about me, it says there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but the same God. If you're here this morning and you get disgruntled because everybody is not on the same bandwagon you are, chill. There's diversity of activities, there's diversities of gifts, and there's diversities of ministries. You do what God has called you to do, and you do it with all your heart, and you do all you can do to get others to join your bandwagon. But don't you get upset if not everybody is on your bandwagon, because if everybody's on your bandwagon, what about all the other bandwagons that need to be banded? Just asking. And so there's this awesome diversity within the body of Christ. And one of the things that makes the community of God, the church, unique is in community we celebrate our diversity rather than bemoan it. And we honor one another and we honor the uniqueness of the way God made us. We can be so thankful that God is always, always at work. And there won't be another you on the planet until you're gone, and then he'll bring someone a little bit like you. But for now, one's enough. Just saying. And so there's this unity that God saw. And by the way, I'm going to read to you, for those of you who are putting up scriptures, I didn't give you this because I intentionally didn't. But all I got to do is go one chapter. to chapter 12 of Genesis. And this is what God, see, because we tend to feel like, well, God is against making a name for men. He's against community. He's against cities. He's against, no. Here's what he said to Abram, who would eventually become Abraham. Get out of your country and away from your family and out of your father's house. See, I told you, God's not for community. Oh, hold on now. To a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great community, nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Remember what the purpose of the tower was? That we might make a name for ourselves. And it's been a challenge all through history. We see Jesus' disciples arguing over which one of them would be considered, when it was all said and done, would be the greatest. And Jesus, oh boys, the greatest among you, let him be servant of all. But God wants to give us a city, and he is giving us a city, not built with hands, but built with living stones, of which you are. God has nothing, has no problem with you and I having a great name as long as he gave it to us. And as long as our whole purpose is to give glory to him. Jesus made himself of no reputation so that his Father might give him one. He might even give you and I one someday. But what will we do? Revelation tells us we will cast our crowns at his feet. I will bless those who bless you. Oh, you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God's word to Abraham. I want to close by going to we started at the very front of the book. I want to go to the back of the book. I want to go to Revelation chapter 21, and I'll close with this. Now I saw, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words, are true and faithful. Aren't you glad you serve the God who makes all things new? Do you know that a part of this community is residing in heaven right now? Do you know that there will be a day when I won't be here, but I am never leaving this community? I'll just be part of it from heaven. And I'll be a part of the great cloud of witnesses. And so will you. Because God the Father is the Father of a family that is in heaven and on earth. We can have great comfort in this day that no matter what involvement we have in the building of the community. This community and then the community that we have the privilege of living in and impacting and working in, and however that looks. But we have the privilege of being salt and light, and it will bear fruit. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning that we can have a confidence fixin' to make biscuits. We thank you, Father, that some of the ingredients that we see being stirred and mixed right now in and of themselves do not look that palatable. But we trust you for the end product. And we recognize that you are shaking everything on the planet that can be shaken, that we might receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We thank you that you are at work. We thank you for the privilege of being part of a community of people, whether we're watching from home or we are here, that are connected. But we are connected first and foremost with the central person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for our identity in him. We thank you for the value that we have in who we are in him. We thank you that whatever we do in word or in deed, we do it all unto his glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.